Welcome to All the Right Queens Mystery Magazine's Fiction Podcast. I'm EQMM's editor, Janet Hutchings. The work of various writing teams has been included in EQMM since the magazine's inception, starting, of course, with the collaboration of the two men who wrote As Ellery Queen, Frederick Denae and Manfred B. Lee. Hal Blythe and Charlie Sweet have been writing together under the pseudonym Hal Charles for more than 40 years. Their first joint fiction publication appeared in our Department of First Stories in 1980. They've since sold more than 200 of their short story collaborations, many of them to our magazine. For this episode in our podcast series, Hal Blythe reads Draw Play by Hal Charles from the May 2003 issue of EQMM.
Benny Lee was a-laying on his back in the Walmart parking lot, trying to loosen the oil plug neath his Ford Ranger, when he scared the living bejesus plumb out of me. "Houston," my older brother announces, "I'm tired of living on the crazy check. It's time you and me become arch criminals and started a crime wave like Clement County hasn't seen since the Great Depression." Now, I'm not the most reputable guy in town, but I certainly didn't want to be what our president calls one of them evildoers. I admit it's hard to make a living on the measly $512 monthly disability check we each get, but we worked hard for that. I'm afraid that Benny Lee's going to rob some bank and someone's going to get hurt, like me. "I'm not hearing no words coming out of your pie hole, Houston, so I'm assuming you like my idea." "Truly, I just had my own brainstorm," I lie, trying to buy some time. "Like the time you wanted to start that pay lake and it didn't rain that whole summer and we lost everything but an acre of dried mud? Ha! If I hadn't dragged you over to Lawyer Sam and told you how to act like you got a bad case of the SSI shivers, you'd have never amounted to nothing." He has me there. If Sam the Man Pharaoh hadn't taught us the ropes of getting on the welfare draw, we'd still be looking for work, which is kind of hard to get, what with Clement County unemployment rate being almost one out of every five. I look in my wallet. I only have $31, and the first of the month is 19 days away. Suddenly my eyes catch the yellow flyer taped to the light pole. "I got it." "Me too," yells Benny Lee, giving it heavy oomph. "Oh, Lordy," he cries out, and then he recites a string of real bad words I haven't heard since our high school football coach caught us doing pot under the bleachers after the model game. My brother slides out from under the car, his pants soaked right through with dirty crankcase oil. "This idea of yourn best be good, because I'm not in a really great mood." He spits a plug of Red Man and Pennzoil in the hot August parking lot. I point to the poster and start to read, because Benny Lee's not very good at it. "Mountain Football League tryouts, 9 o'clock Saturday morning at Woodhull High Field. Every man over 21 who makes it through the day, guaranteed $50. What do you think?" "1, 2, 3, hike," he says. The hot Saturday morning sun promises us a scorcher. I'm standing there in my cutoffs and Woodhull Wolverine, that's our high school team, t-shirt, sweating salt in my eyes, and we haven't even started practice yet. There must be 150 of us there, ranging from last fall's gridiron heroes to the over-the-hill crowd. Near the stands hutter all our women, looking like where they most want to be is back in their glory days, when they was cheering for us. Of course, most of them put on a few pounds since the pom-pom time. It's about 9:05, and everybody's milling around like cattle at the stockyard waiting for auction. And like them poor cows, nobody here seems to know what's going on. Suddenly we hear a noise far into the field, and the best-looking vehicle I ever seen up close comes wheeling in. a spanking new Ford F-150 King Ranch Super Cab with that custom cowhide look. Two people get out. One's a big guy with short hair, a couple of visible tattoos, and a clipboard. He's wearing a New York Giants sweatshirt with the sleeves cut off and gray coaching shorts. The other is a dude who's thin as a corn stalk, with sunglasses and a Reds baseball cap on backwards. New York hands us some paper and pencils, telling us to fill the forms out and get our pictures taken by his assistant. "When do we get the $50?" says Benny Lee, licking the pencil point. 4 o'clock this afternoon," says New York, "providing you can walk up to me and take it. What's to stop us all from ganging up on you right here and taking all the money now?" says Benny Lee, half seriously. New York reaches under the sweatshirt and pulls out one of them fancy Glocks. "Because I'll shoot you where it really hurts." He puts the gun away. "Besides, if you make it in the MFL, there's big money out there." "What's the MFL?" I say. "The Mountain Football League. It's made up of semi-pro teams from Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Kentucky, Virginia, Tennessee, and Georgia." "I never heard of no MFL," drawls my brother. "Well, I never heard of you either, sport, but I'm Coach Mike, and I'm willing to give you a chance at signing a big contract before the day is over. You know, my daddy always taught me not to settle for a grape when there's a whole vineyard out there." "How big's big?" says Benny Lee. "Depending on your position and your performance, sport, you might make $500 on a Saturday night." At that, you could hear so much air being let out, it sounded like a wind whipping down the Palisades. Derek and I have spent the summer in all those other states signing up players. I'm surprised you boys haven't heard about us. The Kentucky Killers start play right after Labor Day, so we don't have much time to talk. You boys ready?" "Yeah," I echo a couple of guys. "I can't hear you," New York says. Pretty soon, Coach Mike has us yelling louder than we ever did when we were just Wolverines. First, we get weighed and measured. Then we start running 40 yards, and Coach Mike calls out times. Then he gets out some weights from his truck, and we see who can lift the most. Bobby Beasley, who blew out his knee up in Lexington, maxes out with 440 pounds. All the while, the women start coming over toting large water bottles. And Derek, he stands in the back of the truck with a video cam on a tripod recording it all. By lunch break, half the guys are gone. While we're eating free food, he talked Hardee's into giving us, Coach Mike explains that the MFL is really partially underwritten, whatever that means, by the NFL. So many kids are starting to skip college because they can't make it there or they don't want to waste their time, he says. And with players getting bigger, stronger, and faster, there's lots of injuries. The pros need a taxi squad with players that they can call up as replacements. Ergo, the MFL. Then we're back under a sun that's sucking fluids out of me like those big leeches in Captain Bob's pond. We're running obstacle courses for times, and we're so tired that the last thing on Benny Lee's mind is becoming an arch criminal. Survival comes first. More guys leave. I'm so pooped I stopped wondering what ergo means. At 4 o'clock, me and Benny Lee and maybe 30 guys are survivors. Coach Mike hands each of us a spanking new $50 bill and tells us there'll be a live announcement about who makes the Killers Sunday night in the high school gym. Me and my brother drive over to the local bootleggers and pop for a case of cold ones. Clement County's dry. It's going to stay that way as long as the churchgoers and bootleggers keep their unholy alliance and vote together. Sunday morning, church attendance is way down. half male population is still hung over, and the other half is too sore and tired to move. A lot of us spend the afternoon sitting under the awning on Benny Lee's double-wide dream, sipping suds and talking about how much fun we had playing high school ball together. It was a good time when most of us still believed we had the potential to, as the Army says, be all we can be. I'd have thought the rifle revel would have been at tryouts, I say. Best arm I ever saw in 5 years of high school football. I hear he moved to Lexington, says Bobby Beasley. Took a job as a security guard. Why'd he do that, says Benny Lee with a loud belch. He shakes his head. Rebel had the whole package. SSI card, Medicaid, and food stamps. Maybe he got afraid of those Courier Journal reporters we run off last month. I laugh and everybody joins in. We've all been together since middle school when our parents had the foresight to sign us up for special ed classes cause we was learning disabled. I'm most happy to see Benny Lee so content. He seems to have given up his big idea of becoming arch criminals. The afternoon fades into evening and we all dress up and are old high school jerseys we stole at the end of senior year. The Woodhole High Gym is alive again with a pep band, some local big shots on stage in front of a giant screen, and even cheerleaders. Coach Mike is wearing a suit as he comes out on stage and congratulates us on our fine showing yesterday. Then, as Derek shows videotape of us all going through our paces in the background, the coach begins to call off the names of those who made the cut. Two things surprise me. First, Mike names some of the women. Female football players? Benny Lee, flashing his imitation gold tooth, explains how we're going to have our own cheerleaders and how he's proud of himself for naming them the Lady Killers. Mike lists a lot of guys who never made it to the 4 o'clock payoff. Benny Lee figures they must be on our practice squad. Of course, me and Benny Lee make the cut, and we stand proudly. Bobby Beasley doesn't, even though I heard him tell Coach Mike he'd quit his job as bouncer over in one of the bars in the wet county next door if he made the team. Now, boys and girls, future Kentucky Killers, announces Coach Mike, if you'll go out the side door, there's a couple of buses to take you out to the Holiday Motel. Officials, that means lawyers, from the MFL are waiting out there with contracts, some cameras to take publicity pictures, and a few complimentary drinks. Well, we all climb aboard, and the three-bus caravan starts out of town as the rest of the townsfolk cheer us on. Me and Benny Lee are hanging out the window waving. When we get to the motel, I almost do something I ain't done since elementary school. Wet my pants. The parking lot is surrounded by Kentucky State Police cruisers. As we get off the bus, each one of us is handcuffed, fingerprinted, and read our rights. A man who says he's from the Social Security Administration announces over a bullhorn, we're all being charged with fraud. Fraud my butt, yells Benny Lee in defiance. Did you see that tape? We can all still play football. And, returns the government man, the tape also shows you can all take direction and put in a full day's work. I didn't see a man or a woman out there with bad nerves, physical disabilities, or mental problems. But Benny Lee protests. Coach Mike, he's not a coach, says the SSA man. He's a bounty hunter hired by the Commonwealth of Kentucky. He collects $1,500 a head for everyone he cuts loose from the draw. We're determined to get rid of you freeloaders who ruin the system for honest folks. I look over at my big brother, the would-be arch-criminal, and say, busted. Before he gets disbarred, Lawyer Sam cuts a deal with the government. They won't prosecute me if and I find a job. As one of the only ones to apply, I get on at Walmart. Wouldn't you know it? The first thing they got me doing is working in the parking lot, cleaning up oil spills.
Draw Play is copyrighted by Hal Charles. Music for this podcast was obtained from the Community Audio section of the Internet Archive. Mixing and editing for the podcast were done by Ray Purdom and Jackie Sherbo. You can subscribe to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine, where you'll find more stories like this one, by visiting our website at www.elleryqueenmysterymagazine.com.